Are you living by works or belief? Abraham saw only the stars, yet trusted God's impossible promises and was credited with righteousness. What would happen if you fully believed in God today? Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. I hope you are having a fantastic day. I sure am, and I know you're probably on that drive into work today, and the weather outside is frightful, but God is with us each and every way, asking Jesus to take the wheel. So, we are going to dive in. We're in a series called Abraham, and we've been studying our father Abraham. Remember that kid song when you were a kid? Father Abraham had many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Anyways, that song, I'm obviously not a worship leader, but if you're enjoying this, not enjoying my singing, but you're enjoying these devotions, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, comment. And if you're in that Washington Defender app, place this in your huddle. We would love to just see the word of God go out. We know that we're changing hearts so that we can change the public square. A new resource that I recently wrote is called Loving Neighbors, Not Thrones. I want to encourage you to check that out at fpiw.org or fpiwaction.org. So let's dive into God's word today. Abraham believed God. Think about that for a moment. Abraham believed God. Now, I would encourage you to go back and study Abraham's life from Genesis chapter 11 all the way to Genesis chapter 25. But let's read our scripture. We've taken a number of days to go through this. It says, "What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as what? Righteousness." And this is what we are focusing in on today, that Abraham simply believed God and it was credited to him as righteous. Now, I have a lot of people, when they think of the Old Testament, they think of the law. Remember, Abraham is way before the law. So faith came before the law. And we studied, I think, a couple weeks ago that the law is our tutor to lead us to Christ, but faith came first. So that's just really important that we understand that progression of how God revealed himself to humanity. It says, "Now to the one who works, his wage is not credited as a favor, but as what is due. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness." So I want to go back to Genesis chapter 15, and I want to read this, where this comes in, because I think having the whole story and the whole context is incredibly important. You may be wondering, How does this apply to my workday? Like, I'm driving into work, how does this apply? Simply put, do you take God at his word that he has a divine purpose for your day? He has divinely set you here just like he did Abraham. And do you believe him? Do you believe that God has a plan for this day, this very, very day, and that you are going to walk in those things? So we want to learn from Father Abraham and grow in those things. This is, "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram," which is Abraham, "in a vision, saying, 'Do not fear, Abram. I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great.'" God is shielding you today. The blood of Jesus Christ is covering you and is with you every step of the way. Your reward will be very great because of Jesus Christ inside of you. And Abraham said, "O Lord God, what will you give me since I am childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?" And Abraham said, "Since you have given no offspring to me, one born in my house is my heir." Now, if you remember correctly, Abraham tried to take this thing into his own hands. And so, or is going to try to take this thing into his own hands, but he really wants to have an heir to him. It says, "Then behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said, 'This man will not be your heir, but one will come forth from your own body. He shall be your heir.' And he took him aside outside and said, 'Now look at towards the heavens and count the stars, if you are able to count them.' And he said to them, 'So shall your descendants be.'" So Abraham, or Abram, and Sarai, or Sarah, those two individuals, husband and wife, are supposed to have children that outnumber the descendants outnumber the stars in the sky. And they're childless. They're not able to have children. And yet God gave the promise before the ability was to be there. And it says, then he believed in the Lord. He looked at those stars. He says, God, I believe in you. You are Alpha, Omega, you are the beginning, the end, you see it all. And he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give this land to possess it. Notice that again, because he's telling them again. Remember, if you go from chapter 11 all the way to 25, you're going to see it over and over and over. I think it's four or five times. You're going to see that Abraham was promised land, and that land was to be eternal. In other words, forever. So he says, look at the land, you'll possess it. And he said, oh, Lord God, may I know that I will possess it? So he said to him, bring me a three-year-old heifer and a three-year-old goat, a female goat, and a three-year-old ram and a turtle dove and a young pigeon. Then he brought all these things to him and cut them in half and laid each half opposite the other, but he did not cut the birds. And the birds of prey came down upon the carcasses, and Abraham drove them away. Now, when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell over Abram, and behold, terror and great darkness fell upon him. And God said to Abraham, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, where they will be enslaved and oppressed for 400 years. So notice this. This whole animal sacrifice that you're seeing here is how God entered into Old Testament covenant with Abram. Now we do know that that is a foreshadowing of what is to come, that God's going to lay down his son as a sacrifice for our sins, right? And he says this right here, Abraham gets a prophetic word from God. He says, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, where they will be enslaved and oppressed 400 years. Now, what is this land? It's Egypt. Who leads them out? Moses. When did does that happen? Approximately 400 years after this promise was given. And so he says they're going to be there for 400 years. I shouldn't say after this promise was given, that they're going to be there for 400 years. But I will also judge the nation whom they will serve. And afterward, they will come out with many possessions. So oftentimes when we read, you know, the Moses account, we forget that this was prophesied through Abraham, the father of our faith, okay? And it's amazing how God sees the beginning to the end. He says, as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You will be buried at a good old age. Then in the fourth generation, they will return here, for the iniquity of the Amorite is not yet complete. Isn't that interesting? That there's the Amorites who have to complete their sin. It came about when the sun had set that it was very dark, and behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a flaming torch which passed between these pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, to your descendants I have given this land from the river of Egypt as far as the river of the Euphrates. Just pointing it out once again, because there's so much anti-Semitic behavior out there right now. It's from Egypt's river all the way to the Euphrates. Israel's land territory is much, much larger than what the current nation holds. The Canaanites and the Kezanites and the Cadonites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Rephaim and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites. Okay. So I probably butchered those names, but you get it. So the whole land that's there. So this is what the covenant is in Genesis chapter 15. And we see that, again, that was initiated in chapter 12, 15, 17. There's a number of them. I've covered those in previous lessons. But the fact is that Abraham simply saw the stars in the heavens, and he believed God, and it was credited to him as righteous. So will you believe God today? Will you allow him to credit to you as righteous those very things that he has promised in the word of God today? I want to give you a New Testament scripture. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. You have been given the ministry to see people reconciled around you. and most importantly, reconciled to Jesus Christ through the blood of Jesus Christ. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Do you believe God? Are you allowing him to credit that to you as righteousness? Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, you and me. It says, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Wow. You are the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ today. So, a couple of points to think about in the public square application. One, do you believe God's word? Do you believe that you've been given the ministry of reconciliation, that you are righteous in the sight of God today because of the blood of Jesus Christ? I sure hope so. It is a powerful tool to know that Jesus Christ is Lord and he dwells inside of you and moves upon you, and you are brand new. And so I hope you're walking in that today. Two, you have a ministry to see others reconciled, first through the gospel message of salvation and then through sanctification, that he would continually work out that gospel message each and every day, both in our relationship with God and our relationship with each other. You have been entrusted that. So today you're going to have some divine appointments. Those appointments are going to lead people to Christ. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. God wants to use you mightily today. So I'm going to pray over you, and I hope that you have a blessed day as you walk in the very things of God. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace that are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. God, we love you, we love you, we love you, we love you. Go before us today. God, we just thank you that you've given us the ministry of reconciliation. We look at the stars and we say, Lord, Abraham's promise is for us today. God, we thank you that the Jewish covenant still stands, that you're faithful to your word to the nation of Israel, that you're faithful to keep your promise to them. And since you have kept that promise, you're going to keep your promise to us, that salvation and newness of life. Thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace that are new every morning. How I need it today, God. Give me divine appointments in Jesus' name. Amen. Go out there and defend in advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard